CliffCentral.com.
Oh yeah. Good morning, everybody. It's me and the bang and you this morning to get you through your Tuesday. Lebang says to me before the start of the show this morning, do you think I should get my hoodie or do you think it's I'll survive the cold? I'm like, no. Get your hoodie right now. You need that. You need that badly. You will not make it through the morning.
Nope. Not a chance.
Nope. All right. So how's it going? How was your weekend, by the way? I know it's a whole day ago, but you know.
Yeah, it was actually a bit of a crappy one. I spent most of it in the hospital.
Oh, no.
But it was all, like, unrelated to baby issues. It was all just, like, it's cold and I'm a sick individual. I think it's around Thursday. I was feeling a bit, like, ugh, you know.
Yeah.
Went to the doctor. They're like, oh, no, you've just got sinusitis bronchitis. I'm like, okay, cool.
Ooh.
Can you fix me? They were cool. So I spent like 2 days just like, you know, on a whole bunch of things. And then on like the Saturday morning, I just woke up and my chest was just like, you're not breathing at all today. You're blocked. Take that. So I was like, okay, cool. I can't breathe. I've got sinusitis, bronchitis. And then I had a fever. So now there's these three things just like happening at the same time. And I'm pregnant. So I was just like, let me just go to the hospital and see what they say. Yo, dude, as soon as I got there.
What a combo.
We need a drip. Get on a drip. You know, it's like in the movies. It was so dramatic. But it had to be because I really wasn't well here. I was just like moping around. I could barely walk. I was like, fix me. But
Typical of you.
These hospitals are good. Like,
you're the only person I could think of who you wouldn't be satisfied with just sinusitis or just bronchitis. You have to have both.
I need everything. I need the whole lot. Just to get out my system. But I'm like in recovery mode, still on antibiotics, just doing the whole design. But it wasn't a great weekend. But I feel like today's like the first day where I can be like, cool, let's go.
Shame, I'm sorry. There's so many people who are getting sick at the moment.
Yeah. No, there's plenty.
So
the doctors
many people.
Literally said the amount of flus right now are just insane. People are coming in and out for all sorts of things. So I'm good. I'm glad to be alive, to be honest. I was worried sick.
You know,
all the nurses that I saw were like, oh, well, you're due in 4 weeks. At any moment now, your baby could arrive. And I was like, Jesus. Please don't.
Oh, wow.
That was hectic.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't doubt that part of this is that, you know, people are, their immune systems are shitty after the last 2 years. Hand sanitizer, masks, not going out, not seeing each other. Now our immune systems are up to shit. So what do you expect, you know? What do you expect to happen? This is
precisely
what people don't, if your immune system doesn't get training, it gets weak. That's how it works.
100%.
All right, so I'm not a big one for I told you so's, but somebody found this and sent it to me and said, oh, by the way, you were right. So I said, what do you mean? They sent me an article that I'd written. This is at the beginning of lockdown. All right, so here it is. Do you want to hear this?
Yeah, let's hear it.
It's a bunch of things, right? It's got to do with lockdown, but it has a whole lot to do with everything else as well. So listen to this quickly. It was something that I think I wrote. I'm not sure if I published it, but I wrote this, and I might have sent it to a bunch of people around me. So I said, if you're bored a lot during lockdown, you might have to confront the fact that you're boring. That disgusting mucus-coated mask and those sweaty nitrile gloves are not a fashion accessory and you're not a Kardashian, so don't post photos of yourself in them. Admit that you're craving fast food. And this, remember, we didn't even have that at that time, right? If you're over 20 and you've started a TikTok account, you should be ashamed of yourself. If you're watching other people on TikTok, you're probably worse. I didn't waste any time. I got to the gist of it. So you're not spending money on entertainment. And I'm sorry to say this, but entertainers became much too important in the 1900s and the 2000s. Throughout history, actors, dancers, singers, and fools were considered lowly and a luxury in civilized society. Maybe this pandemic will remind us that doctors, engineers, scientists, teachers, nurses, garbage collectors, and police are more important than singers. Don't know if it did, hey? I really don't know if it did. Finally, government sucks ass, but they're back in business. We were on a beautiful trajectory of needing and interacting less and less with government as the world became freer and friendlier and more abundant. This virus has made government important again. You may be attracted to this proposition because you didn't have a dad and wanted someone to look after you, but this is very bad news in the long run. When government takes rights away, it's a long, arduous process to get them back. Isn't that true? When they tell you that you can't go, where you can't go, what you can't buy and what you can't do, even for good reasons, you're living in Orwell's 1984, or at least an incompetent version of it. Sleep with one eye open, kids, and stay safe. So I look back on that now, I'm like, whoa, didn't get that one wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
You really predicted word for word what our lives would be like.
Right. Bikling says, been on that flu thing for the longest time now. Oh, yeah. A lot of people are, hey? It's going around and then it sticks around. Nico said, don't drive past Potch. Apparently, the whole bunch has got a crappy fever. The whole of Potch? Ooh.
The entire Potch.
Oh, wow. Mm. Oh, wow.
Tough.
Tracy says, please can we get that petty socialist on again? Flip, that was a 101 schooling, how not to argue. It was glorious. That was the guy who argued with me on Reedy Klabi's show. I think that was him. I still can't even remember his name. I don't know who he is. So when people call him the petty socialist, I mean, that's, I don't know how, if he's,
that's how you know.
I think he was lecturing at university. I mean, imagine holding a class after that where everybody goes, excuse me, Professor Petty Socialist. I mean, how can you, you know, it's kind of, I might have ruined the guy's life. I hope not. Sanella says, Lebang, be careful. Sinusitis is no joke. You can lose an eye from that shit.
Ooh.
Speaking from experience, are we, Sanele?
And I
will be careful.
Yes, sus.
I don't know what version of sinusitis that is, but
it's a bad one.
I'll be okay.
That's the
Thank
worst.
Thank you for
one.
Caring.
Yeah,
I lost. It's like the last number.
I lost my eye from sinusitis.
From sinusitis.
That would make a good TikTok video. What happened to your eye, Lebang?
No,
sinusitis.
No, Gareth, do not. No. That is not an idea for a good TikTok video. Don't anything TikTok. Don't comment on TikTok. Don't speak to TikTok. Just don't.
No, I'll just stay away from
there's
it.
There's like a cutoff age limit. And there's like a cutoff life limit for the content on TikTok. We're not a part of it, trust.
There's a cutoff to how much you can get away with clearly in the world too, because the Gupta brothers were arrested yesterday. Did you see this? Did you see the story?
Oh. Dude, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was about to get into bed. Good night, kids. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Breaking news, Gupta brothers. I'm like,
I know.
It's 2022. It's June. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to get these guys. This is some great, great timing for our friend. Well, your friend.
My Cyril, friend.
But,
oh, no.
Come on.
Don't include me among Cyril's
friends. We had this conversation just last week. He was on the balcony.
I know.
Talking to his dog, rubbing his dog. Lebang. And you died for that PR.
No. Lebang, I said it's the one thing he's done.
My president.
I said it's the one thing he's done in his entire presidency that I thought was good. But... how bad his presidency's been, that we are digging around trying to find like one picture or one video where he's not being stupid.
Dude. We're clutching at straws to make him a full-blown like human, we'll get to the president.
I deserve that. So you think I should have to account for him and what he's doing with 60 million rand in cash, huh?
That I want you to tell me what he's doing, because what is he doing? Really, you know, that's like, it's a lot of money, bro. It's a lot of money just to be having in cash. And I think there's too much speculation. So this is the right time for the Guptas to get arrested, because now we can start thinking about all that other crap that went on with like 2016. That was a while ago. But it's distracting us. I mean, we're sitting here trying to get to the bottom of it. So...
Let me read this to you, because this is the actual story, right, about the Guptas being arrested. Now, I don't know if this is worth celebrating, because it doesn't seem to me like it's a done deal. And I'm not trying to make people who are happy unhappy, but News 24 reports this, and I'm always suspicious of them because they just have become a really shitty news organization. They're not that good at what they do. Ooh. So here, this story from Karen Morn, who we usually can believe, but listen to how it goes, right? Rajesh and Atul Gupta have been arrested in Dubai more than 4 months after Interpol issued a red notice for them. The brothers are wanted in connection with the 24.9 million rand Nulani investment fraud and money laundering case, which will proceed in the Free State High Court in September. Two independent sources, here's what they say, two independent sources with direct knowledge of events confirmed the arrest. However, the next line goes, Crispin Peary, whose spokesperson for the Department of Justice, told News 24's Jeff Wicks, there is no confirmation. So, the Department of Justice, no confirmation. Then it says, according to News 24's information, the arrests were executed by the Dubai Police Criminals Investigation Department of the Dubai Police. The National Prosecuting Authority have yet to verify them. So what they've told us is that there are two organizations that should be able to verify this that have not.
That have not.
Right.
So
who are they?
Who's fooling who?
Who? We need a little more than Karen Morn's friends who live in Dubai, you know? Hey, Karen. Well, hey, Karen, I've been hiding out in the bushes here, man. I just checked the Gupta brothers have been taken away in a van. I mean, come on, really? Right?
Yes, I do agree with you. Because, I mean, until we see them in cuffs and we see them behind some sort of custody, mm-hmm. then I don't think we would be naive enough, well, as a country, to believe it and say, yeah, this is it. This is finally happening. But I did watch a response yesterday from a lawyer guy who was like, look, if these guys are arrested, which it seems like they are, I mean, they released what, a 4-sentence statement?
Yeah.
That was what they were going off. And he was like, look, if these guys are arrested, then this is the beginning of a very long journey, because it's not as simple as, okay, cool, South Africa calls, you know, Dubai and says, okay, cool, you've got them, thanks, send them over, we'll deal with them here, that type thing. It's a very long-winded process that they're obviously going to try fight. Like, the back and forth is just, it's going to be an uphill from here on out, basically. But I think you're right. Let's take a step back and figure out if these guys are even really arrested.
I'll believe it when I see people in cuffs. Mm. That's all,
and especially those guys. Those guys are insanely rich. Like,
it's
similar to like Rishi. Who can't they pay off? Yeah, like, exactly. Who can't they just say,
right,
here's your brown envelope, my friend. Like,
correct.
And then you're sorted. So let's maybe not get excited. Shift our energy back onto the real problem, which is, why is Cyril chilling with 64 million rand under his mattress?
This is a weird...
That's the real question.
Such a weird thing. Like, I see... There are a couple of things that really stupid rich people do, right? And it makes no sense at all to those of us who are not crazy rich like they are. First of all, if you don't want people to notice you and plan things against you, do not travel around with 50 bodyguards. Because immediately, if you are traveling around with bodyguards, people go, ooh, someone important. And bad people
that
go...
That attracts attention.
Right, and bad people go, ooh, someone important that I could kidnap, or I could ransom, or I could steal from, or might be wearing a very expensive watch, or whatever. The minute you travel around with bodyguards, people are going to notice you. And I think that's the point for those people. I think a lot of people who have bodyguards, no one's really interested in killing them, or taking their stuff, or anything. It's just they like people to know they've got security. It's like a way of...
And they've watched too many movies.
Yeah, but they also want to feel more special. You know, it's not enough to just be rich, because there are a lot of rich people in the world. They also need to be rich people with lots of security, because then you're important. So that's number one. And I mean, look, if you're president of a country, I understand it. But Cyril, I don't know how many bodyguards he has. But remember, Gedleklekisa, he used to have, I think it was 20 to 30 bodyguards protecting him. For what?
Why?
20 to 30.
Like, sure.
Are you kidding me? That's 20 to 30. It's a lot, right?
Guys.
So that's the one thing that they do. The other thing really, really rich people do, which I've never understood, because those of us who are not rich don't even do this. Even if we could, we wouldn't do it, is they have to have cash on hand, ready at any minute. Now, you don't get paid your salary in a brown envelope, right?
Nope.
And you don't want to carry around whatever amount of money it is, whether it's 5 grand, 10 grand, 20 grand, 25 grand, 100 grand. You don't want to carry that in cash. Nobody does. Why? It makes you a moving target. So why do these super rich people who are supposed to be clever, that's how they're supposed to have made their money, and this again proves that maybe they're not that clever, why do they need cash all the time, dummies? Am I right? Somebody help us with this.
Yeah, no, because it just doesn't make any sense. In this case particularly, what makes it even more interesting is that, you know, as you know, the story goes, they robbed his farm. Sure. Yeah,
right.
But even after the farm got so-called robbed, like no information was made available to even some people in the police service.
Correct.
So now they themselves are in the dark about how do we move forward? How do we get to the bottom of this? How do we assist in any? It was always like, it was almost like, no, 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 it's cool. You guys, don't worry. You guys focus on the other little robberies or the other little, we've got this. Okay, cool. Is this because it's 64 mil? Damn.
Well, they covered it up clearly. And I just want to know, and even if it's money that he earned, that is his money, okay, why keep it in cash? It makes me suspicious.
Too it makes suspicious.
All of us suspicious. Also, where do you put 60 million rand in cash? Is it in a safe? Is it in under the mattress?
I haven't even seen like 2 million with my own eyes in cash. I haven't even seen 1 million in cash with my own eyes. I've always wanted to, like in the movies, I want somebody to reverse park into my driveway, open the boot, and then pop that suitcase so I can say, and then smell the fresh notes. But I haven't. But I imagine it's a shitload. Right. So imagine 1 million times that by 64. You are putting this money somewhere very, very deep and far on your farm. It's not like you walk into your room and there it is. You know, whoever did this obviously knew the hell where it was. But it must have been tons.
Of course.
And how the hell did they get away with it? It's tons. It's like stacks of rats.
It's a lot of money. And apparently these guys then went off to Namibia with it. Anyway, look, if the intention of people like Arthur Fraser was to distract us, he's certainly got that right. Because look at us. All we're talking about is the money that Cyril had secreted away. And we're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about the rest of it so much. But as you say, maybe the Gupta stories come at just the right moment to recognize, to save and to distract.
Yeah, timing is quite everything in the world of politics. It's almost like they just sitting there like waiting, like, okay, now tell him this so that they can deflect from that. Okay, now tell them this so that they can deflect from that. It's all just a game. It's just a big game at the end of the day. But let's see how it goes, bro. Let's see how it goes. Because right now it's just a lot.
EP47 says, it's probably one of his family members that fucked up and now he's taking the fall. I don't think the president will hide money in a couch. Come on. Well, you don't know. The president is not, he's not some fancy guy who, you know, went to several different universities internationally and has a family that's come from money or any of that shit. He was a trade unionist and he probably does keep cash lying around. I wouldn't put it past him. Maybe even hands it out to, and you never know, like everybody in the world, even the smartest people and the best people and the most well-to-do people, they always have a family member who always needs help, right? Every family has that. There's always one schmo in the family who's embarrassing and everybody's like, oh God, here he comes. Oh, just give him some money or he's going to ask us for something, right? Every family. Am I right, Lebang?
Yeah, there's always that one guy. And Cyril kind of, I take him as that guy.
You think
in
he's
these
that
family
guy?
Gatherings. No, not that guy. He's the guy that sorts everybody out.
At the end of
the family gathering, his wallet will always come out. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just 100s here, 200s there. Whenever you ask him for something, you will get something. So he does seem like the kind of father figure in inverted commas that'll just make sure when he goes up to Venda just to visit the family or whoever's out there, he just opens his wallet and just gives, you know, because that's what he does. But you're not fitting 64 mil in your wallet, Cyril. That's for sure.
Nope.
That is for sure.
Nope.
So he's that guy. He's got cash. I just don't know if you need that much cash, but we'll see. We'll find out next week on Dragon Ball Z what's really going on here because we don't know. we just don't know.
I like this comment because, you know, we're always talking about like the bodyguards and everything. So Corona's Boring says, to be honest, if I wanted to kill any politician, I'd slap plastic explosives to a drone and fly it into them. I'd like to see the bodyguards defend that. Good thing I'm not that guy. But that is such a good point. Like, what are all your 20 bodyguards going to do? Someone powers a drone right into the president.
They'll probably run.
They will run. I don't think they're
they're not going to protect your ass.
Probably, right? I mean, it's a crazy idea, but I guarantee that would work. All right, so it's time we clear the air, because we all sit here and we're trying to find ways to not spend stupid money over the next couple of months. It's going to be cold as hell. Yesterday I was saying to Leanne, I bought some firewood and it cost a fortune, and I literally feel like I've thrown money into the fire. But it'll at least keep me warm. At least I've got firewood to keep me, you know, at least I've got that.
Yeah.
I'm going to put up a brazier. Mm. You know those braziers with the holes in them that they make out of a drum? I'm going to put one of those outside and just keep adding shit to it so that I can keep
for warm. For feng shui. Do it, Gareth. I expect a picture. Do it.
And I'll sit around it with a blanket over my head like the whole day.
Huddling up, getting warm, yeah.
Can you imagine how great I'll smell by the end of the day?
But who's going to be smelling you? That's the nice thing about living alone. You actually don't need to care about things like that.
Yes.
Like, who's going to be smelling me? I don't have to invade anyone with my stench. I can just roam around in my smell, and that's that. How you guys think about it has nothing to do with me, because you guys aren't here. It's just me, myself, and my dog.
Right. Before we even get to that, DK says, why is the situation in Hanky hardly spoken about? So, first of all, Hanky is some horrible little town in the Eastern Cape. I've driven past a sign that said Hanky once, but I don't know what's going on there. Maybe, DK, you can just fill us in, because I have no idea what's going on there, and we don't want to like be complete ignoramuses. Maybe you can fill us in and we can talk about it. I'm not going to look it up, because I'm not sure I've ever looked up the word hanky, H-A-N-K-E-Y. Huh? Have you ever, Labang?
Your browser history will be confused. You'll be like, what? No. If I type hanky right now, I promise you, what will come up is panky afterwards. I'm just telling you. I know my computer. I know it. And
what happens if I type this in? Hang on, hanky. Hanky protest comes up first. I wonder what that is.
Yikes.
Shacks torched in Hanky protest over murders. All right, well, you know what, DK, now you've started us. So here it is from the Herald Live.
That went south quickly.
Police are at the scene of a protest in Hanky, which saw several shacks in an informal settlement near the town being set alight on Wednesday night. So this kind of been this week then, because it's only Tuesday now. It's the 2nd of June this happened. Police spokesperson Colonel Priscilla Naidu said that between 6 p.m. and midnight, the residents of Entabeni and Mountain View, including Lesotho citizens, had been escorted out of the area by police to a neighboring area for their own safety. That's all they had. That's all the Herald tells me. So I still need to know. So DK is saying, no hanky-panky, massive xenophobia. Doro is shut down.
This sounds like more of the, what is that, Operation Dudula?
Dudula, yeah.
An extension of that, or that kind of ongoing energy where really the citizens themselves now are even like, yo, let's do what we can. That is tragic.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, okay, we'll come back to it. But in the meantime, we've got a very practical situation to deal with here. All right. Lebang has got... Here we go. Are you ready? Disney Plus, which is brand new. She's got Showmax. She's got Netflix. She's got Apple TV. And she's got Amazon Prime. She's got the big five.
You make me sound like such a hoe, Gareth.
Well, I mean, come on, look at you.
A hoe for streaming services.
Explain yourself. You've got all of these.
I do. I don't know how I got here.
Are you
like,
paying?
It literally started...
Are you paying for all of them or just for some?
Okay, so I'm not going to disclose which ones I'm paying for and which ones I'm not. But obviously, no, I'm not crazy. I'm not going to pay for every last one. But I do have all of them. And again, it just started off as like, it's quite a, you know, Netflix is here. Obviously, many years ago when it was like the first one, followed the hype, that one I was willing to pay for. And then as more and more started coming, I was like, this could be interesting. Let's see what Showmax has. Bing. Oh, this is bing. Before I know it, like, I've got everything. And also, Gareth, most importantly, I have children. Mm-hmm. And children like things. Mm-hmm. So if they see like a commercial for like a Disney Plus, they'll be like, oh, mom, Disney Plus. And I'm like, dude, you weren't even born when some of these Disney movies came out. What do you know about Disney? Anyway, the hype did grip me. I got some login details here and there. Now I've got all these platforms. And in my mind, I told myself, I will have entertainment surely for the rest of my life. Surely I will never have to suffer at the hands of not knowing what to watch because I've got everything. Well, here we are, and I can tell you quite honestly.
Before you say anything, Dog Ozzo wants to know, yes. Do you also have DSTV?
No. Oh. I don't know. Come on. Dog Ozzo, DSTV is only for sports, I think.
Okay. All right.
Like, that's the only reason why I would get it.
So you've got five of these platforms. You're not going to disclose which ones you actually are paying for, but
I will not.
You're paying for some of them. Is it worth it? Is the question. Is it worth it? Has this solved the big hole in your heart and soul where you're desperately looking for something to watch and you can always find something?
I greet you all with the same hole in the same heart with the answer, unfortunately not. I find myself in the same place that I've been at with Netflix many months ago, which is there's so much going on here, but there's nothing for me, or there's nothing to watch because there's just too much of nothing. If I can say,
yeah.
I'm at a place where now I'm watching all the original Disney movies, which is nice, but it's just nostalgia. Right. What happens when that ends? When I've seen The Lion King again, and I've seen, Aladdin again, and then what am I going to do? So it's just one of those things where I don't suggest it. Amazon Prime and Apple Plus, Apple TV maybe have the most original content, but it's only for the kind of person that finishes what you start. And I'm a 10-minute person, so I'll start something for 10 minutes. If it's dope, I'll continue. If it's lame, like, that's my cutoff, you know. But no, it's pretty lame, Gareth. It's quite lame. It's just a bunch of streaming services that kind of all have similar content.
Let's perform a service here for people, okay? Can you rank them from best to worst so that people who have no idea can save themselves some trouble? Because if you're going to buy one of these services, and maybe some people are rich enough to be able to buy all of them, but maybe you can just help us like short circuit this a little bit. So what should we do? If we can only afford one, which one would you get?
Sure. Okay, if you can only afford one, I would say get Amazon Prime.
Sorry, just say that again, but don't sound so if you could only afford one. Like, don't make us feel bad if we can only afford one. Say it again with less judgment.
I'll give you two options. It's like Apple TV and Amazon Prime, Apple Plus and Amazon Prime. That's like the balance. I'm giving you options because it depends on your taste, right? Okay. If you like original content, go for Apple. If you like all the Marvel, all the Star Wars, all the way that stuff, like the good stuff,
go for Disney Plus.
Disney. Forget about Netflix. It's done. It's over.
Nico says you are absolutely right. Agreeing with you, it is such a waste to pay R1,000 a month for three good sports channels. That's what you're paying for, DSTV.
Referring to DSTV, I grew up on DSTV, and it's over.
Ruth says it's such a woman problem, having tons of clothes but nothing to wear.
You feel me?
Shame.
It's a real thing.
Shame, says DK. Poor woman that has nothing to watch. Oh, okay, DK. Don't get crushed just because we didn't talk about hanky all fucking morning.
Garrett, take that back.
Hanging out with Jay says Amazon Prime is a big nothing burger. Sanele says, Jay, don't retract. Amazon is shit. You know, or the shit? No, just shit.
Not the shit.
Sure. A lot of people here.
It's not looking good.
You've opened up a can of worms now because hanging out with Jay says Netflix, I don't know. We wait for the hype shows. I have three of the five and mostly watch classics and whatever is hyped at the moment. That's amazing. Mm. Disney's the best.
So they're good for the classics. If you know what's good and what you enjoyed at some point in your past, you'll just rewatch that. And then definitely you wait for the hype, the shows that they, you know, putting all this marketing budget mm-hmm. into pumping. And yeah. then once the hype dies down, you're back to square one where you're like, shit. And you've seen all the documentaries.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a toughie.
Well, a lot of people here are saying, and Dogozo's kind of jumping the gun here, but he says, does anyone have Disney logins for me? I'll hook you up with my Netflix and Showmax logins. So we're all
Currency. It's a currency. There's literally a black market. You know, that's like, that's how we move. That's the currency. What do you got? I've got two logins for, I've got two Showmax. And, okay, give me some of that Amazon. It's a real thing. It's really fun down
there. Right. Dude 69 says, I've had 5 or 6 streaming services. Are there even 6? I only use 2 or 3 most of the time. Other people using it while I'm paying for all of them. Time to let some of it go. Hey, I got to say, the same goes. We were talking about Cyril and we were talking about how every family has some kind of loser in the family. It's time to let those people go too. Time to stop paying for those people, you know?
Cut them off.
Seriously,
cut
we can't. Them
off. Especially if they're just watching and they're not contributing.
Ah, Lebang. We all are looking for ways to save money at the moment. One of the best ways to save money is to cut loose those useless family members who don't bring any value in themselves. They're always looking for a handout. They always come to you like this. Cut them loose now. Say them, sorry, done. We're finished with you guys.
Agreed.
Do you pay for Prime Video in South Africa? Is it free with your Amazon delivery subscription in the US? I don't know.
I think not. We pay for Amazon Prime as a separate subscription. I don't think it's linked to your Amazon delivery. That's like a whole, it's a different thing. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah. I think it's definitely a different thing. We pay for everything in South Africa.
Yes.
To answer your question, everything thing we pay for.
Do you remember what
there's nothing we don't pay for.
Do you remember when they used to charge us R2.50 an SMS? Do you remember those days? Yes.
Dude, oh.
Per SMS.
When bread was R7.
Yeah. Well, it's outrageous that we were charged R2.50 an SMS in those days. Now no one cares about SMSs, right?
SMSs, exactly.
All right. A couple of things in the news. Do you want to look at some headlines?
Oh, wasn't that headlines? What we just did for 30 minutes?
Well, we spoke about all your subscriptions, and we're gonna see which ones you cancel. We'll see if you cancel any, actually.
Give you an update.
So I mentioned the Guptas being arrested a little earlier on. Both Lebang and I are a little bit suspicious of this because so far the National Prosecuting Authority and the Justice Department have not confirmed the arrests. Not that they would know. I mean, those two organizations who are responsible for getting the bad guys, in inverted commas, they wouldn't know to sit the right way around on a toilet. So I'm not going to hold my breath for either of them. But Karen Morn is reporting in News24 that the Guptas have been arrested. So we'll see if it's true or not. If it's true, I'll say, all right, well, News24 aren't just lies and bullshit. We'll trust you again. If it turns out to be nonsense, I'll go, ha, told you so. Anyway, China has decided that they're doing a 6-month mission to work on the country's new space station. It's China's latest step towards making itself a leading space power for the decades ahead. Last year, China put into orbit the first module of its Tiangong, or Heavenly Palace, space station. It plans to add more modules, such as Mengtian Space Lab, which is going to be added by the end of the year. Next year, it'll launch a space telescope called Zuntian. This will fly close to the space station and dock with it for servicing and refueling. Tiangong will have its own power, propulsion, life support systems, and living quarters. If they only could do that for the people of China. Oh, it's not funny. That's just mean. Sorry. I'll take it back. But anyway, that's the story out of China at the moment. Unemployed man has been arrested for allegedly financing a Toyota Avanza for $460,000 with fraudulent documents. So it's not just any unemployed man, but a 27-year-old unemployed man who bought a 460,000 rand car with fraudulent papers in Limpopo. The Hawks said on Monday he was arrested on Saturday. You see, if you do this kind of small-level crime, and I say small, like defrauding people out of money for a car is small in South Africa, when, you know, the president has 60 million rand in cash lying around, and the Guptas are still chilling. We don't know whether they've been arrested or not. But even if they have, I mean, it takes so long for the real criminals to get locked up.
Mm.
And if you put in fake papers for a Toyota Avanza, good luck to you. Anyway.
Dude,
He did not
have the hill.
He did not have the necessary documents to attach when applying for the vehicle finance loan. However, the salesperson promised to assist in arranging the required documents at a cost of 5,000 Rand. After his application was approved by the bank, the vehicle was successfully delivered to him. So what's the problem here, I ask you, I hear you ask. Well, the bank eventually figured out what was going on and they did an audit. They noticed that the payslip was fraudulent. The case was opened and referred to the Hawks. During the investigation, it was revealed that he was actually unemployed. But he managed to, you know, bullshit people enough to get this car. So the poor guy...
Can I just get that guy's number? I just want to talk to him.
Yeah.
I just want to talk.
Me too.
Because being able to get some sort of approval from the bank with no job...
Yeah.
Like, holla back. And also, why the Avanza? I feel like they're putting quite a lot of emphasis on the fact that this is a Toyota Avanza. The Toyota Avanza is going to go down as a legendary vehicle in South African history. It's raised many, many people.
Yes.
If you live in the township or in the homelands, it'll take you from A to B with like $5. It's like the local, the tuk-tuks that you see here in Sandton, these tiny little golf cart-looking things. That is the Avanza everywhere else in this country. It is... That guy was probably trying to start a business. Let us cut him some slack. That's what I think.
And
we're being mean
and Lebang,
to this unemployed guy.
I also think the Avanza is so often used for Ubers, right? So many Ubers are Toyota Avanza.
Well.
So don't punish these people. Not unnecessarily.
Yes.
You know, there are real crooks in the world, and I don't think this guy's one of the real crooks. I think he's probably not that bad a dude. He just managed to get the system working for him, which is the opposite of what
most
of us get. Yeah. So
there's literally people with like 64 million rands in cash on their farms. Maybe let's look into those guys as the crooks. I don't know. Let these Avanza guys go.
I agree. I mean, really. Okay. there's one other story I wanted to refer to, and then we can move on to JJ Cornish, who joins us for this morning. We're always happy to hear from him. And we're going to do some African analysis today. But Twitter is building a new feature, including a version of Google Alerts, despite the Musk takeover uncertainty. So they have to keep on doing things. They can't just wait for Elon Musk to take over. And apparently they are building new features, including a Google Alerts type feature. Search Subscribe, which was first spotted by a developer and reported to Google, will allow users to subscribe to search results, which will then give them push notifications for tweets relating to the query, similar to Google Alerts. So, for example, if Black Twitter loses their mind over something new from the Senzo Miyua trial, or if someone does something really stupid on the internet, then you can now search these things and it'll send you alerts. Like, we need that. Name one person who's sitting around going, you know what I need? I need more outrage and stupidity in my life. I'll subscribe to this alert from Twitter.
Look, let me play devil's advocate. If this will encourage people to verify
the sources
of this bullshit.
Definitely won't.
I mean, sure, they won't. But at least now they'll be prompted to. Like, hey, somebody tweeted this, this, that. Go to this link to da-da-da-da. Maybe more people will. Maybe. I see it.
I'm going to bet on that. I don't think so.
Let's see how it goes.
Anyway.
Do you think it's just another step into like Nonsenseville?
Nonsenseville. Yeah. The Avanza is for Uber. Maybe he was going to join that club, says Lungilo. So here, Vernon says, that's called a Toyota cockroach.
Some of them really do sound, they sound like, sadly, they are so beat up and just finished. But they'll get you where you need to go.
People are mean.
You can see these cars haven't been serviced ever. But they will get you where you need to go.
Okay, well, those are the headlines that you need. Also, just one quick alert that apparently there is still a big squeeze on local flights because Comair is suspended. So it means that you're going to pay a lot more for flights between Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Durban. And if you don't have to fly at the moment, do not. It's like if you don't have to drive at the moment, do not. Only people who have money to burn are going to be flying and driving in the next while, because really petrol's too expensive and we don't even have enough planes going to and fro. So
that's too much.
You know, a lot of people who are trying to get to family and friends, and you can imagine there are emergencies here and there, but they say that sold out flights all over the place. There's a bit of a squeeze on flights into the Eastern Cape, for example. Cape Town to Durban is looking very full for a few days. And according to SAA, the state-owned airline has seen an increase in demand and is adding more frequencies to meet that demand. It's also adding more seats between Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Durban in the wake of a gap left by suspended Comair flights. So everybody's feeling a bit of a squeeze there. Just a quick public service announcement in case you're one of those people who's going to be traveling in the next while. Who knows? It is time for JJ Cornish to regale us with stories and interesting information from all over the continent of Africa. It is, of course, called Africanalysis, where we talk to JJ once every 2 weeks, I suppose, twice a month usually. It's brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School, and here he is in all of his glory, Mr. JJ Cornish. How are you?
Bonjour, I'm immensely well, thank you.
Good, I'm very happy to hear that. So JJ, there's quite a lot going on. There's never a quiet day in Africa. And although usually many of the news outlets tend to push African stories to the end, even African news outlets tend to push them to the end, in a world where we should be obsessed with, I don't know, Rafa Nadal winning the French Open or, you know, the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, here in Africa, we've got quite a few stories that deserve some attention. I mean, there was a shooting. We talk about shootings in America, but there was a shooting at a Catholic church that killed 50 in one of the safest provinces. So tell us a little bit about this, because this is the kind of thing that we really should be paying more attention to. If 50 people were killed in an American shooting, we'd be talking about it for weeks.
Well, you know, this is very, very sad, because this is down in the south, sort of southwest of Nigeria.
Yes.
The real problems are up in the northeast.
Sorry, I forgot to mention it was Nigeria. Sorry, that's quite right.
Yes. Well, this is Ondo State, which is where the security is visibly tighter. It's a much, much safer state. And in the little town of Owo, the Church of St. Francis Xavier, the gunmen arrive. They use dynamite inside the church, and as the people run out, they get mowed down, and they fire into the church. At least 50 people killed. We don't have the full death toll. Many of them children and mothers and women. And you know, I mean, there they have kind of images of blood on the altar. It's absolutely shocking. No one has claimed responsibility for this, although the organization Islamic State in the West African province, in other words, this is now moving towards that area, they have been involved in some killings of late. But, you know, this is just yet another indication that Muhammadu Buhari cannot contain things. He keeps saying, in this case, he's called the crime heinous. He responded very quickly and said the perpetrators would live in eternal sorrow. Well, I mean, that sounds like what the Pope would say, and the Pope did condemn the thing. This was a very big church service. Apparently 1,500 people could fit into that church. I'm sorry, 150 people could fit into that church. And it was Pentecost Sunday. You know, it's a very important church ceremony in church calendar. So, the frustrating thing, Gareth, is we don't know who did it. Sure. And until they do, you know, they can't begin to pursue them. Again, Muhammadu Buhari saying, we will get them. Don't worry, we will get them. But they haven't managed to do that with any of the other violent groups. And as you know, people can't take trains, can't drive on the roads because they get kidnapped, so they go by train. Well, then the trains get attacked. And now they have trains in some provinces being accompanied by military aircraft. To try and make them safer. The whole security network in Nigeria is broken down, and it's very, very sad.
It's outrageous that this sort of thing is happening and that the government says, oh, no, we're in control. You know, clearly not.
No, I mean, but if Muhammadu Buhari was the first lying national leader, we could make more of it. But there's, you know, one of them has just yesterday won this confidence motion, and another one is planning to come back. I mean, show me a leader who has not lied.
Sure.
And I will show you. I will show you. Yeah. I don't know, a Toyota that's had its service. Eh?
or one that has been bought properly instead of bought by fraud. So JJ, I mean, let's just turn our attention to the DRC and Rwanda, a part of the continent where they haven't had the easiest time for, oh my God, 30 years. And there continue to be massive issues between the DRC, Rwanda, and sometimes Burundi, sometimes Uganda. So there's a new row between the DRC and Rwanda over support for those M23 rebels who we hadn't heard from for a long time in the Eastern Congo. But it seems like it's still the Wild East, not the Wild West, but in this case, the Wild East, right?
Indeed it is. You know, I mean, it's across Lake Kivu, the most beautiful place you've ever seen. Chocolate box beautiful. And on one side is Rwanda, and they've got a big station taking methane gas off the bottom of the lake. Yeah. On the Congolese side, the fishermen go out and get killed by the methane because there's just bubbles of methane come up during the night and they never come back. So, you know, there is this dichotomy between the two sides, but we're after the genocide in Rwanda, and I'm reading Michaela Rong's book, Do Not Disturb, if you want to know about that and the aftermath and who's really the bad guy in Rwanda. It's a book well worth reading. But so they many of the Interahamwe, the Hutu genocidaire, went over into the DRC. Now, all the rebel groups were pulled together, and this one was left out of the attempt to integrate them, and the integration process happened on March the 23rd, and they called themselves M23, and they remained among the 150 rebel groups operating in the DRC. Right. Now, they maintain, and they are Tutsis, and they're going after Interahamwe, and they maintain, the Congolese maintains, that Rwanda and to some extent Uganda is responsible for supporting them. United Nations said this just a couple of years ago. Now, of course, the Rwandans are denying it. But the last time the government was able to drive M23 out, we're not sure that they can do it this time. So it's you know, we have Felix Tshisekedi here up against Paul Kagame. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did have in Beni, that's around Lake Kivu, the place I've mentioned, the M23 killed two soldiers just 2 days ago. So, you know, this is grown-up problems for the DRC. They cannot contain these rebel groups. And having Rwanda next door supporting them is no help at all.
It sounds horrible, and it doesn't sound like there's an end in sight there, and that's extremely upsetting considering the fact that so many people have over the years lost their lives in that part of the world. What about the story that seems to be unpleasant for the WHO to refer too much to, because COVID seems to have hit Africans the lightest of all, but it made the saddest continent on the happiness index. Now, this doesn't make sense, first of all. You know, there have been a lot of theories from the medical community about why Africa was hit the least hard by the COVID pandemic, despite the fact that we had a very, very low rollout of vaccines. There are some countries where vaccine penetration is tiny, if even measurable. There were countries like Uganda who, you know, where there were kind of controversial things said by the politicians when they tested pawpaws and goats and all kinds of other things. Africa might have got away lightly, but then when they, they always reveal this happiness index, which I think we spoke about just the other day, we come out really badly. Is that more to do with poverty and inequality?
Yes, it is.
Than it is to do with COVID? I mean, address both of those, because they might not even be related.
COVID didn't hit us in the chests and the noses and the heads as it did in the rest of the world. It hit us in the wallet. Mm-hmm. You know, there were 13.5 million jobs disappeared in Africa during that period. Now, this World Happiness Index, you know, I'm as you know, I'm putting the finishing touches to my book at the moment.
Yes.
And I'm working on this GDP. GDP says that Nigeria is wealthier than Africa, than South Africa. It's the wealthiest country in the world. But when you look at what is happening there, is it really? And so I've gone through all the indexes of health, wealth, happiness, you know, and how do you really measure it? Now, this is a United Nations backed index report. It's the Sustainable Development Solutions Network, and it looks at GDP, it looks at social support, it looks at health, life expectancy, freedom of choice, generosity, corruption. It's been going for 10 years, the 40 African it looks at 150 countries, and in each of those countries it surveys at least 1,000 people. Now, for the last 10 years, Africans have not featured well on that, but in the last 2 years, there's only 9 Africans in the top 100.
Sure.
And, you know, when I look at an index, I look, where are we? Yep. And South Africa is 91 in the latest one, and in 104, so it's improved slightly, position 104 in the previous one. The lowest of the Africans is Zimbabwe in position 144. How very, very sad. Awful. But these indexes, these indices that we look at are I think, fairly germane, and it's important. But, 4 years ago, we would talk about the period of Africa rising. Well, COVID-19 came along and curbed business and removed the livelihoods of so many that it has now confirmed our continent's place as the saddest one on the planet.
Yeah, you know, JJ, I think there were a lot of people warning at the beginning of the COVID pandemic, and it's worth referring back now, not because of I told you so's, but because we need to be able to deal with these things better in the future. We realized, some people did anyway, that Africa would be hardest hit by the economic devastation wrought by governments shutting down, by ordinary people being forced out of work and being forced to fend for themselves, many of these people living in conditions where you can't fend for yourself. You might not have running water, electricity, healthcare. There's nowhere to put your children. Even if you manage to maintain your job, what do you do to look after the kids? You know, for many people, these were the realities of lockdowns. And lockdown is fine, and it's all theoretical for people at the top of the pyramid who have a comfortable home or a job where they can work from home. But for the average person on this continent, you need to be there for your job to be done. And if you're not there for your job to be done, then you just get fired. And then you have to fend for yourself, whether that's keeping warm, whether it's keeping healthy, whether it's finding food, whether it's being able to send your kids somewhere to be taught. And obviously, we learned a very hard lesson from this. Now, the question that I think many people are asking is, what kind of price will the governments of Africa pay for having made these ruinous decisions for the people of those countries? And we all remember how many ordinary people in South Africa and in Africa were going, no, we support the lockdowns. Despite all these warnings, we now have the evidence to be able to look back and go, that was a disaster. That was a terrible, terrible set of decisions. In the end, our health, while there were many people who died and every death is regrettable, our health was not as adversely affected as people thought. And in fact, we would have been better off without the lockdowns. There is proof now. We can actually show that in the numbers.
Well, there is. And then when you see what happened in Sweden, you know, that was pilloried for not locking down.
Yes.
But Sweden's different. You know, they have a public order, a sort of generic public order that works there. I know the first year of where everybody else locked down, Sweden hadn't. The Swedish government said, well, it will not be a good idea to travel this Easter. And 3% of Swedes traveled that Easter.
Right.
You know, it was not a mandated lockdown. But, I mean, our situation in Africa is absolutely parlous. And, but look what's happening in China. They've removed, you know, millions upon millions of people from poverty. And they're putting them back in there with these lockdowns, absolute total COVID programs that they have, locking down Shanghai, locking down Beijing.
Yeah.
So I simply don't know the answer. But I think if we did have a society that was more orderly, that would listen to the scientists, listen to the experts. Certainly, the politicians never did. You know, and sadly, I mean, during that lockdown, I've always believed that politicians are liars. I mean, it's axiomatic. You have to be to go into politics.
Yes.
And that's true. I'm not being cynical.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly, suddenly the doctors turned out to be liars as well. You remember?
Yep,
you don't need a face mask because they didn't want us buying up all the face masks.
Yep.
You know, so instead of saying doctors, like politicians, are too scared to say, and that's my favorite expression, I don't know. When I don't know something, I'd rather say I don't know. And then you could look at Le Bon and say, that guy's as thick as two short planks.
Right.
He's supposed to know that, but he doesn't. Well, I'd rather you do that than you look at Le Bon and say, what a bullshitter. And we can see that he's lying, you know?
Correct.
And the situation is this. So the people that we once had faith in, we no longer have faith in. So, you know, I'm simply adding to the woes that you mentioned. Where do we go to now?
But
we
also,
you know, we can't go to our leaders, but we can't go to our doctors either.
It shouldn't end there because someone has to be held responsible for those bad decisions. You know, if you're a doctor and you make a very bad call and someone dies because of your negligence and your poor decision making, you could be sued. If you're a lawyer, you don't do your job, you will be disbarred. You know, if you do something that is unethical or contra bonis mores or against the rules of the court because you're an officer of the court. If you're an engineer and you build a bridge and your bridge falls down, your company and you personally will be sued. Now, these politicians who made all these terrible decisions and the people who advised them. I saw Professor Karim on TV the other day talking about banning alcohol. And I thought, what a cheek that this man even has the balls to go on TV after all the shit decisions he made during lockdown, that this guy still thinks he can command an audience and furthermore tell us that he's got new ideas about what we can and can't do. This guy should be in jail for the decisions he made and the advice that he gave to government. Why there's no payback here? Why? Because they're politicians, right?
And that's it. And believe that they have the support of the majority. Well, I think it's for us. I think the only thing, this can't end here, you say, I believe that. But if it's not going to end here, it's us. It's people like us who've got to keep pointing out what they're doing and bringing them to. You can't bring them to book. That's for the lawyers and so on. But at least bring them to heel and make them think again before they start spouting bullshit. And but I think it's a long, long process, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them are just too far gone.
Yeah, you're right, Le Bon. But also, you know, JJ, if we'd even had this conversation that you and Le Bon and I are having now, if we'd even tried to have this conversation a year and a half, 2 years ago, we would have been banned from YouTube. We would have been told, you people are the wrong ones. You're bad. This is called dangerous misinformation. And we would have been banned from YouTube. So this wasn't even a conversation you could have had 2 years ago, thanks to those same people.
Anyway. Yeah.
Look, I mean, we're going to sit here and moan about it, but I appreciate you being part of the show this morning and also giving us an opportunity to look back. When are we going to hear from you about that book? When is the book coming out? I want to get that book.
Yes.
This is not a question to ask a writer. I'm putting the finishing touches to it, let me tell you that. Sooner rather than later.
Right.
Let me think. I'm just looking up my Boris Johnson answers. Thank you very much for your valorous and colossal support, both of you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right,
but
JJ.
Don't ask me questions.
All right. Yeah. That's a whole other story for another day, what's going on in the UK with Boris Johnson. But JJ, thank you very much. It's good to focus on our own continent. And we actually had Prof. Karillison from the Joburg Business School just the other day on the show. And he told us some really interesting things. In fact, it was last Tuesday. And you can listen to that podcast too. JJ Cornish, we'll see you in a couple of days' time.
Looking forward to it.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
There he is. African Analysis, which is brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School. And I would advise that you go and listen to the Prof. Karillison interview. I think you'll find it very interesting. Prof. Randall Karillison, who was with us last Tuesday. Mm. We spoke about all kinds of things to do with the challenges facing us here in South Africa and facing the rest of the continent and how he sees much of this in an optimistic light. He sees many opportunities and possibilities lying in front of us, and it's not all bad news. It is 1 minute past seven. Le Bon Hosana, Gareth Cliff, you and me, we're all here to keep each other company. I've got some good news. We've got confirmation on the Gupta arrests, but I'll tell you about that in the next half hour. Stick around for that and a whole lot more. This is CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.